So I come here before you today, as I do every single time that this microphone is on, with one mission. And that mission is to serve, influence, inspire, motivate, and be a positive force in your life. And today, the mission is I would call it critical. It's not just about do what you want to do, go where you want to go, be who you want to be. That's important, and it's available to you. But the mission today, and I'd say the underlying mission, is about this country. And I want to read something where the framers got it wrong. They said, we the people. We the people of the United States. No, it's not we the people. I would push back and say it's you the people. I would insert the word you, because it is up to you at this point. This could be considered an uncomfortable broadcast today. It could be. But today, I'm going to be putting you on notice. And when I say you, I'm also pointing at me. I'm saying that, well, maybe the framers had it right. We the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, do ordain and establish this Constitution for the United States of America.
Years from now, some of them may look back and ask themselves whether they've made the right choice, whether they've made the most of the opportunities they've been given. Together, we have the same mission. Over the course of your life, you will find that things are not always fair. You will find that things happen to you that you do not deserve and that are not always warranted. But you have to put your head down and fight, fight, fight. Never, ever, ever give up. Don't give in, don't back down, and never stop doing what you know is right. Nothing worth doing ever, ever, ever came easy. And the more righteous your fight, the more opposition that you will face. In your hearts are inscribed the values of service, sacrifice, and devotion. Now you must go forth into the world and turn your hopes and dreams into action. America has always been the land of dreams because America is a nation of true believers. When the pilgrims landed at Plymouth, they prayed. When the founders wrote the Declaration of Independence, they invoked our Creator four times. Because in America, we don't worship government, we worship God. It is why our currency proudly declares, "In God we trust." And it's why we proudly proclaim that we are one nation under God. The story of America is the story of an adventure that began with deep faith, big dreams, and humble beginnings. The next generation of American leaders never, ever give up. There'll be times in your life you'll want to quit. Never quit. Never stop fighting for what you believe in and for the people who care about you. Carry yourself with dignity and pride. Demand the best from yourself. The more people tell you it's not possible, that it can't be done, the more you should be absolutely determined to prove them wrong. Treat the word impossible as nothing more than motivation. Relish the opportunity to be an outsider. The more that a broken system tells you that you're wrong, the more certain you should be that you must keep pushing ahead. You must keep pushing forward. And always have the courage to be yourself. America is better when people put their faith into action. Pray to God and follow his teachings. Today, each of you begins a new chapter as well. When your story goes from here, it will be defined by your vision, your perseverance, and your grit. You will build a future where we have the courage to chase our dreams no matter what the cynics and the doubters have to say. You will have the confidence to speak the hopes in your hearts and to express the love that stirs your souls. As long as you have pride in your beliefs, courage in your convictions, and faith in God, then you will not fail. As long as America remains true to its values, loyal to its citizens, and devoted to its creator, then our best days are yet to come. May God bless the class of 2017. May God bless the United States of America. And I just want to let you know that God blesses you. And I want to just say, you are special in every way. God bless you, and God bless America. Thank you very much. Thank you.
Thank you. Live from Homer, Alaska, I'm Chris Story, and this is On Top of the World, Radio on Purpose. You know what adds two kinds of value to real estate? Pavement, that's what. Your property grows in value and you get use value. So why wait to sell? Add two kinds of value right now. Dutch Boy paved my driveway, and to be honest, we can't believe we ever lived without it. That's use value. When we go to sell, because one day we will, the market's going to pay us back for the pavement. Call Dutch Boy for your free estimate today and get two kinds of value tomorrow. Dutch Boy Landscaping, your paving pro at 235-7140. No more rolling stones. Let Dutch Boy paint it black at 235-7140.
As
You're listening to On Top of the World Radio on Purpose. I'm Christopher Story along with Mr. David Webb. He's engineering the broadcast all the way back up to the mothership of KPEN and KGTL, courtesy of and through the miraculous equipment and service provided by Horizon Wireless. Love the people there. Leif and Cassandra, awesome, excellent people. Known them a long time and doing business together now because they're the best service and the best service behind the scenes you're going to find on the peninsula. 226-3130, 226-3130, Horizon Wireless. Friedrich Nietzsche said, "He who has a why to live can bear almost anyhow." So the theme of the program today is, what's your why? Greg Sarber is going to be my guest. He's got a Substack you should follow called stewardsfolly.substack.com. Greg will be coming up here in our Who Do You Think You Are segment. I mean, what does he think he is? Publishing his thoughts at stewardsfolly.substack.com. We'll find out. Greg's a friend and a friend of the program. Been on before. You'll remember him. Plus, we still declare and your Bill of Rights. All of that is coming up, so don't go anywhere. Much more to come here on Top of the World. Winston Churchill said, "Attitude is a little thing that makes a big difference." You're listening to On Top of the World. Christopher Story here along with Mr. David Webb, bringing you what my mom calls the greatest show on earth. Don't go anywhere. Coming up, Greg Sarber. He's the author and publisher of stewardsfolly.substack.com. May I suggest you subscribe to it, even if you disagree with Greg. I think he'd welcome that. He's extremely conservative in his views. I think he would welcome you to read those views and push back. My suggestion would be just to follow for a while, read along, see what you think, see what he thinks. But Greg will be coming up. He'll be my guest for Who Do You Think You Are on Top of the World. Well, we still declare, it was in Congress on July 4th, 1776, that this unanimous declaration was made, and yet here we are, all these years later, still declaring that when in the course of human events it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with another and to assume among the powers of the earth the separate and equal station to which the laws of nature and of nature's God entitle them, a decent respect to the opinions of mankind requires that they should declare the causes which impel them to the separation. Quote, "We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal." Do you know how unique this was? Well beyond the Magna Carta. All men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. What an idea. The pursuit of happiness, unique among all the countries in the world and all the people in the world, indelibly put into the annals of history right here in this great country. That to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. Where has that gone? From the consent of the governed. That whenever any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or abolish it and institute a new government, laying out its foundation on such principles and organizing its powers from such a form as to them shall seem most likely to affect their safety and happiness. Happiness again. But when in a long train of abuses and usurpations, pursuing invariably the same objective, evinces a design to reduce them under absolute despotism, it is their right, it is their duty to throw off such government and to provide new guards for their future security. Those are not insurrectionist words. Those are words that we were founded upon. This is a time for you and I to stand for something. And I suggest we look backwards to see where we could stand, should stand, might stand, take a stand right here and right now. We have an ethos, a motto, if you will, here on Top of the World. Look forward, learn from the past, live in the present. Well, we get to enjoy the freedom that we have today, limited though it may be, in some respects, getting more limited relative to free speech, relative to the thought police, relative to thought crimes, if you will. But it's not. It's only limited by what you'll tolerate. It's only limited. Your speech is only limited by what you'll put up with. Get off social media. The power comes to social media not through, is it Section 131 or 130, whatever the provision allows them to be, not publishers, but just a conduit of information. They're not controlling the content. Therefore, they're held harmless from whatever's put onto their platforms. This section of this code that allows these platforms to exist, they don't get the power from that code. They get the power from you using it. They get the power from you and me. From the people, by the people, of the people. It's a social media coup that is required if we're going to ever be able to topple it. It's interesting that we stand in this moment in time, you and I together. Norman Vincent Peale said, change your thoughts and you change the world. Your world will change. How do you think about the world we live in today? Do you feel comfortable to speak up? You might lose friends. I have an associate, or I guess I'd call him an acquaintance, who's an attorney. You know what that means. He's gone to law school and he's passed the bar. And he worked for a long, long time in that field. And he disagrees with me vehemently on almost everything political and social until, guess what? That's right, it comes to his property. And when it comes to his property, well, it's fair market, baby. And I tolerate that and I allow his dissent. I allow to debate and argue and still maintain a friendship and acquaintance, if you will, still give him advice. But isn't it interesting that the very people, this particular person, by the way, when Trump was first elected, wanted to go to lunch with me, so we did, and he said, the wall is racist. Oh, okay, so I tolerate these kinds of things. I tolerate this kind of debate and dissent. I think it's good. I think it's, we need all, what's the song, the country song, it takes all kinds of kinds? Of course it does. But when we don't understand our founding, when we would say, in this particular person, I'm not picking on him, but this particular person in a debate through text messaging recently said to me, again, having gone to law school and graduated, having passed the bar in two states, said to me that he felt Biden was more mentally equipped to be president than Trump.
We hold these truths to be self-evident. All men and women created by go, you know the thing.
And there you go. It's of course he's not. It's elder abuse. You know that. You know that Mitch McConnell needs to hang it up and go get some help and health care. You know that President Biden needs as well to go get some medical care and to just enjoy whatever days he's got left. I mean, we know this, but it's hard to say that because you could alienate people. You could lose friends. You might not be as popular in some of the social circles you're currently enjoying if you speak up and speak your mind. But if you're prepared to debate relative to what you know is true and what has foundationally changed and fundamentally changed the entire world, which is our founding documents in the history of our country. I just watched an interview where one of Thomas Jefferson's, I think it was the sixth great grandson, like six generations removed, was suggesting and promulgating the idea that Jefferson's memorial should be absent, his statue, that statue should be removed, and Harriet Tubman's put in his place. And the debater, the guy debating him, said, well, why not just add a Harriet Tubman memorial or statue or remembrance, and let's celebrate both. Why? And anyway, it's just a trashing of our history. It means we're not going to learn from it. I'm going to be reading in just a little bit from Lincoln's Gettysburg Address. I mean, fascinating. I mean, we live at a moment in time. It's an inflection point where we have an opportunity to do something. And if we don't do something, I'm afraid that history will be rewritten and we'll be facing another revolution.
If we look to the answer as to why for so many years we achieved so much, prospered as no other people on earth, it was because here in this land we unleash the energy and individual genius of man to a greater extent than has ever been done before. Freedom and the dignity of the individual have been more available and assured here than in any other place on Earth. The price for this freedom at times has been high, but we have never been unwilling to pay that price. Those who say that we're in a time when there are no heroes, they just don't know where to look. The sloping hills of Arlington National Cemetery, with its row upon row of simple white markers bearing crosses or stars of David, they add up to only a tiny fraction of the price that has been paid for our freedom. Each one of those markers is a monument to the kind of hero I spoke of earlier. Their lives ended in places called Belleau Wood, the Argonne, Omaha Beach, Salerno, and halfway around the world on Guadalcanal, Tarawa, Porkchop Hill, the Chosin Reservoir, and in 100 rice paddies and jungles of a place called Vietnam. Under one such marker lies a young man, Martin Treptow, who left his job in a small town barber shop in 1917 to go to France with the famed Rainbow Division. There on the Western Front, he was killed trying to carry a message between battalions under heavy artillery fire. We're told that on his body was found a diary. On the flyleaf, under the heading My Pledge, he had written these words: America must win this war. Therefore, I will work, I will save, I will sacrifice, I will endure. I will fight cheerfully and do my utmost as if the issue of the whole struggle depended on me alone. We must realize that no arsenal or no weapon in the arsenals of the world is so formidable as the will and moral courage of free men and women. It is a weapon our adversaries in today's world do not have. It is a weapon that we as Americans do have. Let that be understood by those who practice terrorism and prey upon their neighbors. As for the enemies of freedom, those who are potential adversaries, they will be reminded that peace is the highest aspiration of the American people. We will negotiate for it, sacrifice for it. We will not surrender for it now or ever. We are Americans.
And you are listening to On Top of the World, Radio on Purpose. I'm Christopher Story, celebrating America today, celebrating your rights. How familiar with the Bill of Rights are you? We all know the Second Amendment, First Amendment, Fifth Amendment. But we ought to be very, very familiar. Amendment number one, First Amendment, Congress shall make no laws respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press. There is a difference, or of the press, or the right of the people to peaceably assemble and petition their government for a redress of grievances. Second Amendment, a well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear honor, arms shall what? Not be infringed upon. Period. There's no exclamation. There's no, I shouldn't say, there's no semicolon there. There's no asterisk. Shall not be infringed upon. Period. No soldier shall in time of peace be quartered in any house without the consent of the owner, nor in time of war, but in a manner to be prescribed by law. Third Amendment. Fourth Amendment, the right of the people to secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable search and seizure shall not be violated. And no warrant shall issue but upon probable cause, supported by oath or affirmation, and particularly describing the place to be searched and the persons or things to be seized. You remember when the Hoopers' Fourth Amendment rights were violated on April 28, 2021. Nothing's been done about that. You know what they took? You know what they seized from the Hoopers that day, besides some electronics devices? The only other thing they took was a pocket constitution. It's the only other thing seized from their home in Homer, Alaska, a pocket constitution, of which the United States senators, both Murkowski and Sullivan, said nothing publicly. Neither did House Representative Don Young. Relative to that, it took Jim Jordan bringing it up to Executive Director of the FBI, Christopher Wray. Why did you take their Constitution? You remember that. It was given back to them, but their rights have not been given back to them. Their rights were violated that day horrifically. We the people, by the people, for the people. We have to make a stand. We have to say something, do something, or this could be lost. It's not permanent. I've never felt that way in my life until the last several years. I've never felt that America was impermanent. My eyes are open. How about yours? Coming up in just a little bit, Greg Sarber. He is the author and publisher of swordsfolly.substack.com. We're going to find out who on earth he thinks he is when we return here to the Top of the World. Stick around. You're listening to On Top of the World Radio on Purpose. I'm Christopher Story along with Mr. David Webb. In just a moment, Greg Sarber joins me to talk about his Substack, and we're going to find out who in the world he thinks he is. First, a quote from Khalil Gibran. He said, "Your living is determined not so much by what life brings to you as by the attitude you bring to life. Not so much by what happens to you as by the way your mind looks at what happens." Greg Sarber, welcome back to the broadcast. How are you, sir?
Hey, Chris. Thank you for allowing me on your show and to have some conversation with your audience and yourself.
We've been friends for a while. I want to say somewhere between 12 and 14 years. And you've been a guest on this show before because your wonderful wife, Vicky, at the time was reigning Mrs. America. Do you remember I dubbed you then Captain America?
Yes, I do remember that, Chris. And I also remember one other time you and I were on the air together. We called, did the radio broadcast of a Mariners football game. And I recall I was spectacularly poor at that. So hopefully I won't let you down today.
It wasn't you. All disclosure, that was me. I was so arrogant as to think I could call anywhere close to what David the Eagle Webb could do on a football game and ask you to be color. And what my biggest and strongest memory from that day was, well, A, I did made a determination. I'll never do sports again. It's just not my thing. I can't do it. And secondly, that poor family that we traumatized down in, Dillingham? Or no, it was somewhere, maybe Valdez, Puerto Valdez, somewhere we were simulcasting and one of their players was injured and we got bad information, Greg. It wasn't your fault or mine, but somebody said, oh, number 22 on the Valdez team is down. And suddenly we're saying, okay, number 22 and the ambulance is making its way onto the field. And it's, nope, okay, that's number 42. Number 42 is down. And people back home are going, no, that's my little Timmy. Oh, no, it's Bob's kid. Oh, thank God. Anyway, it was quite a time, but I think we're a little bit more in our wheelhouse right here, Greg, talking about America, talking about the freedom of speech, and talking about your wonderful newsletter or Substack called swordsfolly.substack.com. Let me ask you first, though, for anybody who doesn't know, where were you born and raised?
So I'm a lifelong Alaskan, Chris, and I was born in Petersburg, grew up in Anchorage, and I went to school up at the university in Fairbanks. And then when I got close to retirement, my wife and I decided that we could choose to live anywhere we wanted in the world. And we were in Anchorage at the time. I said, hey, we're going to move south. And she says, great. I've always wanted to live down south. And so I moved her to Homer.
Wrong south. But still, it's a great south. And why Petersburg? What was your family doing in Petersburg when you were born there?
My family was into the logging industry and fishing. That's primarily what they did. My dad was a truck driver and worked. He came north to move to Anchorage to work on the pipeline back in the 70s. And so that's why we moved to Anchorage.
And you mentioned you retired, and that's from I've known you, you know, like I said, almost 14 years now, and I honestly do not know what you did. I knew you were in the gas and oil business, but what did you do? What was your job?
So I graduated from the university as an engineer, and that was my first role up on the slope with a company called Schlumberger. And I eventually worked my way up, and I was one of the drilling superintendents for BP when I retired.
I remember you gave me some amazing advice. You and I met at a coffee shop probably 10, maybe 7 or 8 years ago, something like that. It's been a while ago, and there was something going on, and you told me, Chris, don't believe this, but here's what's actually going to happen. If this initiative goes forward, here's what's actually going to happen. Everything you spelled out to me came true. I mean, you had this prescient ability to see what was actually happening within that field. And I guess because you'd been a part of it for your entire career. But yeah, it's amazingly political. And anyway, but I bet you're enjoying retirement. A while back, I started noticing Greg Sarber name in the paper quite often. You were writing a lot of letters to the editor. Why did you start doing that in the Homer News? What prompted you?
Well, it's interesting, Chris. I have never been a political person for most of my life, probably up until I retired, which was right when COVID hit. In my entire life, I'd maybe written 2 or 3 letters to the editor on certain things. And when COVID came along, I saw some things that were being touted as factual that were not correct based on my education as an engineer and my training in some of the the job responsibilities I had up on the slope. And so I started digging into things like the efficacy of face masks, and I found some things that surprised me, and I wanted to share with the people in Homer. And so I started writing letters to the editor. And it's a pretty challenging format. You can only use 300 words. That's the length that Michael Armstrong, the previous editor of the paper, would allow. But I tried to get cogent thoughts, challenging some of the narrative that was out there about COVID. And I'm happy to say that if you go back and look at some of those letters, 90% of what I wrote has come true and was accurate at the time.
Well, then the next question would be, why did you stop writing those letters to the editor? Because they did stop.
The newspaper had a change in editors late last year, and the new editor decided that they wanted to go a different direction, and my opinions were no longer welcome in the newspaper. So it was a bit of an ego blow at that time. But since it's worked out, I've started the blog and been having a great time putting the same information in my blog post. And actually, I can go, and without that 300 word limitation, I can actually expand upon things in a little more detail. It's given me a little more freedom.
And the blog Greg is referencing can be found at sewardsfolly.substack.com. And I think it's interesting that you were canceled, essentially. And look, I understand that the press is a private enterprise, and I respect the right of any newspaper to conduct themselves as they see fit. I do find it interesting that that all the while they are struggling. They can't print a decent paper. We're constantly battling with their press because the print is so off. It's just horrible. They have a lot to focus on. They could expand the tent and welcome more voices. I find it ironic that all the while they're struggling, there they had my attention with your letters every single week. And I, since you've stopped writing, I'm just, you know, it's just, what's interesting too, is that you weren't alone in a conservative voice that was from time to time published there in the letters section. And one person that I know quite well actually received threats because he was writing some short little pieces in those letters, and they were pretty outspoken. He was very conservative, just a little bit right of you, maybe, Greg. And yet people, longtime liberal, left-leaning friends of his, actually threatened him. Did you ever receive any kind of negative feedback that even approached a threat?
No, nothing like that, nothing personally. I did have, of course, a lot of people write letters of
rebuttal.
To points I made, they mm-hmm. they disagreed, and I think actually that's the beauty of that kind of a format. And I'd like to expand that a little bit, because it kind of shows where I'd like to go with this blog post. But I never had any real negative feedback. And what's really funny, just the opposite. Many times I'd be out, And there was one lady that I'd never met before. She came up to me in the parking lot at Ulmer's and she said, "Are you Greg Sarber?" And I said, "Yes, I am." And she said, "Hey, good for you for writing those letters. All my friends are liberal and I can't let them know that I agree with you, but I just wanted to come up and tell you personally, thank you for what you're doing." Like, okay.
Yeah. Well, and I think it's great because, I mean, this segment I'm tongue in cheek dubbing, "Who do you think you are?" Because Greg Sarber, I mean, that's the question. Who do you think you are? I mean, yeah, you've got an engineering degree. Who do you think you are commenting on anything relative to public policy or the job that one of our senators or both of our senators are doing or the direction of our country? So let me ask you that question very directly. Greg Sarber, who do you think you are?
Well, I'll tell you what, Chris, I am just an average guy. I am not a politician. I am not a person who's had a lot of journalism background. I try to go and use spell check when I write a blog post, but I'm trying to go and share the opinion of just one person from a traditional background. I don't call myself a conservative. I call myself a traditional background. And I think there's a large voice out there that's not represented. And so I'm trying to get the word out and, you know, and speak up for people that share similar views.
Let me just say this. There's somebody listening right now that might feel completely antithetical to you. It might be 180 degrees opposite of a Greg Sarber, or they're in a, you know, total alignment, whatever, but they're reluctant to voice their opinion for whatever reason, be it that woman from the parking lot who said, "Oh, I don't want my friends to give me grief to know I agree with you," or whatever it is. What would you say to somebody who says, "Yeah, well, Greg can do this, but I don't know. I'm not sure I could do it." What would you tell them?
I think that one of the things that we lack right now is communication between people with different ideas. Mm-hmm. And we have such a fragmented source of information now. People get their news, used to be, you know, in the old days, it was, you know, from the newspaper and then, you know, the three primary television stations. But now we have a huge source of information. You can go to social media. You can listen to radio shows like yours. You can go to 1,000 different, you know, blogs like mine. And what that has done is polarized our country politically. We don't have a lot of people in the center anymore. It seems like we have a lot of really strident people on the left and the same on the right. And it's a little bit like people in a neighborhood standing across the street shouting at each other. And you're much better if you go over to your neighbor's house and have a cup of coffee in their kitchen and sit down and say, "Hey, let's have a conversation." That's what I think we need to do. And so I would encourage everybody, left or right, if you have some ideas, start a blog post. Mm-hmm. and let's share those ideas and let's communicate and let's talk to each other. If you're a liberal, a Trump supporter is not your enemy. If you're a Trump supporter, your neighbor across the street with a Democrat's campaign sign is not your enemy. We're all in this community and we all need to go and learn to talk to each other.
I love that you were trained up in journalism by an ardent liberal, Michael Armstrong, who been at the Homer News for many, many years, most of his journalistic career, yet he trained you. In other words, he trained you to write and hone your message and cite it. He required citations of you. You provided them. And now, to this day, at sewardsfolly.substack.com, you'll find citations of everything Greg writes about. Greg Sarber, I appreciate what you're doing. There might come a day where you write something I disagree with, but what I know is that you're open for a conversation, and I think you're leading the way, and you're showing others that you can have a voice. You needn't scream. You can talk cogently and effectively. Any final thoughts?
No, Chris, thank you for those thoughts. I appreciate that. I appreciate you getting my blog out there and on your radio show. It's free. You don't have to have a subscription. When you go to sewardsfolly.substack.com, it'll ask you if you want to subscribe. You do not have to. I welcome people to come, and I welcome people to comment.
That's right. The first time I saw it, I was like, "Wait a minute, I've got to pay for this?" And it's like, "Oh, no, I don't." Yeah, but I will. I think at one point I probably will hit that patron button. But for now, I just read it and enjoy it. And whenever I see a new one come in, I stop for a minute and read the article at sewardsfolly.substack.com. Greg Sarber, thank you so much. You're a great American.
Thank you, Chris. Appreciate it.
You're listening to On Top of the World Radio on Purpose. I'm Christopher Story, along with Mr. David Webb. We're going to talk about creating lasting change with spare time and spare change when we return here to the Top of the World. Stick around. Nothing can stop the man with the right mental attitude from achieving his goal. Nothing on earth can help the man with the wrong mental attitude. Thomas Jefferson. You're listening to On Top of the World Radio on Purpose. I'm Christopher Story. I want to talk about creating real and lasting change with your spare time and your spare change. It's possible. I just received a massive book by Orson Swett Marden, and it's called Pushing to the Front. It's massive. It's literally a doorstop, probably about 3.5 inches thick. Massive book. And I'm working my way through it little by little because it's a lot to absorb. It's written in 1917, so it's not simplified language, but it's amazing and straightforward. Story after story of people who started with nothing, maybe even said less than nothing, better way to put it, and made something of themselves here in America, using their spare time to learn, using spare change to start something. And you can magnify and scale in America your intelligence, your education, your opportunities. I texted a friend who runs a big company, actually two companies in two different states, very big. And I say that only to just emphasize the two things. One is I want to tell you why I asked him the question, and two, why we should listen to his answer. I said, are you optimistic about 2024 or are you trepidatious? He said, incredibly optimistic. There are no limits to the opportunities coming. Wow. That's how you see the world. And you might say, well, I'm not running a large company. I don't have the opportunities that he's got before him because look at what he's already built. Well, I would submit to you that in your spare time and with spare change, you can start working on your future fortune or your future contribution to the world, depending on where you are on the ladder of life. Because maybe you don't want to make a fortune going forward at this point. Maybe that time has passed. You've already done it or you don't care about that, but you want to make a contribution. You still can. In the spare hours of your day, you can create lasting, real change. You can learn and become, and you can do anything you want to do in America. One of the greatest Canadians on earth, Robbie Robertson, went home. He's gone, but not forgotten. Jimmy Buffett as well. What are you doing to leave your fingerprint on the planet? What are you doing? What are you contributing? What are you going to be remembered for? It's never too late to change your thoughts. You can change your world.
My friend can stick around. Take a load off Eddie. Take a load for free. Take a load off Eddie.
Thank you for being with me here on Top of the World. If you've enjoyed this broadcast and want to share it with a friend, maybe something Greg Sarber said inspired you or you'd like to hear it back, you can go to our website, ilovehomeralaska.com. ilovehomeralaska.com. You can hear it back anytime you want. It's time for times like these. You know what Paul Harvey said? Well, the thing about times like these is there have always been times like these.
And it's times like these we can't replace. It's times like these we must embrace.
Yes, indeed. Times like these, it'd be great to think about when there have been times like these. Here's the Gettysburg Address. Abraham Lincoln, President Lincoln, said 47 years ago, our fathers brought forth on this continent a new nation conceived in liberty and dedicated to the proposition that all men are created equal. Now we are engaged in a great civil war, testing whether that nation or any nation so conceived and so dedicated can long endure. We are met on a great battlefield of that war. We have come to dedicate a portion of that field as a final resting place for those who gave their lives that the nation might live. It is altogether fitting and proper that we should do this. But in a larger sense, we cannot dedicate, we cannot consecrate, we cannot hallow this ground. The brave men, living and dead, who struggled here have consecrated it far above our poor power to add or detract. The world will little note nor long remember what we say here, but it can never forget what they did here. It is for us, the living, rather, to be dedicated here to the unfinished work which they have fought here, have thus far so nobly advanced. It is rather for us to be here dedicated to the great task of remaining before us, the great task remaining before us, that from these honored dead we take increased devotion to that cause for which they gave the last measure of devotion. That we here highly resolve that these dead shall not have died in vain, that this nation, under God, shall have a new birth of freedom, and that government of the people, by the people, and for the people will not perish from this earth.
Virgil Caine is the name, and I served on the Danville train till Stallman's cavalry came and tore up the tracks again. In the winter of 65, we were hungry, just barely alive. By May the 10th, Richmond had fell. It's a time I remember oh so well.
President Donald J. Trump, treat the world, the word impossible, is nothing more than motivation. The word impossible, when you hear it, hear that it means motivation. That's what it is for you and I. I'm motivated to sell you on this country. I don't have to. It's why you're here. You know that. We have that in common. And I mean this with all of my heart, that it is up to you. It is not going to be up to somebody that goes to Washington, D.C. in your name to do whatever they think they need to do to get reelected, to stay in power. It's up to you, the people, governed by the people, of the people, for the people. That's you are. It's the consent of the governed. It's up to you and I. I don't think I've even come close to scratching the surface of my mission to serve, influence, inspire, motivate, and be a positive force in your life. However, if this is an entree to a larger conversation, I'm open to it. You can reach me at ilovehomeralaska.com. And you needn't agree with everything I say, but we must agree on this, that we are here as a result of those who've sacrificed before. And we should never forget, nor can we forget. If we forget and we move on and we allow this to dissipate, we allow this, the last stand on earth for this kind of freedom, to fall, then God help the world. Thank you for spending this hour with me. It's been my privilege and pleasure to be here with you. I'll remind you that you should look forward in life. Learn from the past, but never forget that the good life truly is lived right here in the present. We'll see you next time.